Welcome back to Disclaimers Aside, a bi-weekly podcast where I share the stories of people in my community, Disclaimers Aside. I'm your host, Aisara Amadou, and let's dive into this week's episode. Usually I like to take the entire month of December off from podcasting, but this year we have one last episode. I have one last episode in me to give you guys. This is the final episode of season two. Crazy that season two is already done. I feel like 2023 has gone by so quickly. The reason why I take off December is A, because usually the month of December is kind of insane in terms of my schoolwork and everything. It's me transitioning into winter break. It gives me a month to just kind of deal with all of that chaos the first 2 weeks of December and then go home, be present at home, record some episodes, pre-record some episodes, and just have enough time for season three to launch so that the launch of season three or the launch of the next season goes pretty seamlessly. After my first year of podcasting and taking that entire first month or month to prepare, it's just something that I've replicated every year, and I find that it has helped me so much. It has helped so tremendously to just to have a strong start to the new season of podcasting. I'm always super excited for the month of December because even though you guys aren't hearing any episodes go live, it's always a really fun time for me to go home and like record a lot of interview episodes with some of my family members. My goal this year, you guys, for season three is to get my dad on the podcast. I really need to get him on the podcast. He is the last member of my immediate family that has not been on my podcast yet so far. Every time I ask him, he immediately shuts me down. But inshallah, one day I will have him on the podcast and hopefully for season three. I have also just always wanted to interview some of my extended family, like my aunts and uncles. I don't think I've had a single aunt or uncle on the podcast thus far, so I'm hoping to make that happen. Definitely winter break, I'm planning to interview some of my uncles that I'm excited to have on the podcast. But in general, very excited for season three. I haven't really started the planning process for that. I think that'll come over winter break. But
this week's unpopular opinion, I don't even think is really an all that much of an unpopular opinion. If you have an Apple Wrapped, don't post it. I'm just kidding. In all honesty, I don't really care if you use Apple Music over Spotify, but I personally am a Spotify Wrapped and a Spotify user. I've been a user of Spotify since 2015. It's actually been such a long time, and it's so nice because I used to make yearly playlists. Now I switch to seasonal playlists on Spotify, but it's really cool to be able to just go back and look at all of the different music that I used to listen to over the years and just see how my tastes have evolved over the years. One of my favorite days of the years is, I think it's usually December 1st when the Spotify Wrapped playlist gets released. And so my Spotify Wrapped actually came out. I wanted to share it with you guys really quick. I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty embarrassing. I really did hesitate to post it on my Instagram story when I saw my top five artists. Okay, we're gonna start at the bottom up because my number one is just actually so embarrassing. Number five, I got Travis Scott. I was really surprised by this one just because I've never been a huge fan of Travis Scott. I only started listening to Travis Scott recently with his new album, Utopia. But I wasn't the type of person to listen to old Travis Scott. I will say I really, really loved his newest album. I was listening to it like all the time ever since it came out. Like these past couple months, I've been listening to Utopia on repeat. But it's crazy that like listening to that repeatedly for the past couple weeks made it onto my top five of my Spotify Wrapped. I'm actually very surprised. Number four was SZA. I'm not really surprised by this one. I'm also a huge fan of SZA. I really did love her album that came out. I think it came out like at the tail end of last year. Actually, maybe it was the beginning of this year. But as soon as, you know, it was definitely the tail end of last year because I remember I listened to it a lot over winter break, especially, and just throughout the year. Gunna came at number three. That's also not really a surprise. I love Gunna. I feel like Gunna's music is just such good hype music, and I listen to Gunna a lot, like, in the gym. Number two is The Weeknd. Listen, I would be disappointed if The Weeknd was not on my top five because he has been on my top five every single year since Spotify Wrapped came out, and I'm really afraid that he's not going to be on my Spotify Wrapped next year. I actually thought he wouldn't be because I feel like I haven't been listening to his music as much this year as in past years, just because he hasn't really come out with like any music recently. But I have been listening to The Weeknd since I was in middle school, and I would say if I had to point out my number one favorite artist, it would probably be The Weeknd, just because I love his music so much and I've had such a deep love of The Weeknd for so many years. Like, literally was listening to him in middle school when I didn't even care about music all that much at that point. Now, my number one is very embarrassing, but I feel like a lot of people can relate to this because so many people that I talked to about their Spotify Wrapped were saying that they don't even like listen to him like that anymore, and he just sneaked up at the top of their Spotify Wrapped. My number one artist was Drake, which I do really like Drake. I really like his music, but I feel like recently I haven't been liking his music as much. Like, his most recent albums have not been a hit for me, and his recent albums haven't been as, like, I haven't enjoyed them as much as I've loved his older music. In my last episode, I made my unpopular opinion that For All the Dogs, like, I hated that album. It's crazy because I recorded that, I think, like, 2 days after the album came out. The more I listened to it, actually, the more I like that album. So I would like to redact my unpopular opinion from my last episode. I don't completely hate it. I really do like and enjoy some of the songs on the album, but not all of the songs are for me. I would say it's like an okay album overall. Some of the songs I really like, but I don't hate the album for sure. It's also a really, really long album. Like, there's so many songs, so it's kind of hard to not find one song that you don't enjoy from that album. But I was definitely surprised that Drake was number one, just because I feel like I really have not liked his most recent albums. Like, I hated Her Loss. I hated it. Honestly, Never Mind, at first I didn't like it, and then after like a few months it grew on me and I started to like it. I did like Certified Lover Boy, but I just feel like in general, like, where is Drake going with his music? Like, he actually needs to get a grip, please. I'd love to hear what your guys' Spotify Wrapped look like, so I'm gonna include a little question box on the Disclaimers Aside podcast Instagram to share, or if you guys want to post on your stories and tag Disclaimers Aside, I'd love to know who your top five artists are. I've been asking like everyone IRL what their top five artists are on Spotify, because I feel like it tells so much about people's music tastes, you know? It shows the reality. It's been funny to see some of the memes on TikTok where it's like the most mysterious like indie alternate person that you like have in your life. It's funny seeing them post and they have like very mainstream top five. But my roommate was saying last night, she made a really good point that if you listen to a bunch of like random artists that only have like a few songs, and then you listen to like a couple people that have like a ton of albums, a larger discography, those people are gonna end up on your top five because everyone else in the data is kind of like an outlier, which kind of makes sense. I also thought the whole The City thing was kind of cute. I got Dakar Senegal. I think it's because I like listening to like Senegalese music, but it's interesting also to hear what locations other people are getting.
For the final episode of season two, I was really trying to figure out what I wanted this last episode to be, because last year it was the end of season one, and so kind of reflected on season one, how that went, what it was like starting a podcast, and what I learned from my first year of podcasting. This year, I wanted to do something different. I didn't really want to reflect necessarily on season two of Disclaimers Aside. I think that's something that maybe I'll discuss in the first episode of season three, but I wanted to do something different. And originally, I had been planning on doing a podcast episode at the beginning of January on all of the lessons that I've learned in 2023 thus far, but I decided we're gonna air that episode a little bit early, and that's what we're gonna be talking about today. So most years when I make these types of podcast episodes or videos where I kind of share the things that I've learned in a given year, I usually don't write down the things that I'm learning as I go. It's most of the times when I'm ready to record or film that I sit down and I reflect on the year and kind of work my way backwards. But this year, going into 2023, I wanted to be very intentional about 2023 because I knew this was something that I wanted to possibly record and actually write down any time I learned a lesson or I had a realization, so that I felt like the lessons that I was sharing were more authentic than me kind of looking back and reflecting. I started a notes app and I have 13 lessons that I learned in 2023. I was very tempted to cut out one of these and make it symmetrical, so it's like one lesson per month. So the first one is that you have to find a balance between being alone but not being lonely. I think this is so important when you come to college, especially. You need to learn how to love spending time with yourself, but also don't fall into the extreme where you're closing yourself off to social situations or social experiences because you're trying to quote unquote protect your peace. There's kind of like a middle ground that you have to find, and it can be kind of hard, honestly, to navigate that, because a lot of the times, if you get into the habit of saying no to things, at first that might be a good thing because you might be giving yourself the time to do something else that you really want to do or need to do, or just giving yourself alone time. But if you get into the habit of that, it becomes hard to kind of detect when you're saying no because you genuinely need that time alone, or you need that time to do something else. Or if you're just saying no because you're afraid to challenge yourself to put yourself in a social setting that might seem uncomfortable at first. One thing that I have gotten really, really good at is spending time alone. Like, I feel like I am very comfortable with spending time alone. But something I've realized this year is sometimes I can get a little too comfortable with spending time alone, and I kind of need to push myself to spend time with others, to make plans with others, to say yes to more things so that I can find that balance. Number two is we don't have to be trapped by our histories. This is something a professor said in lecture that really stuck out to me, and I genuinely internalized so much. That's something that I related to and I connected to at the time. I feel like our histories can be so suffocating. This kind of ties into identity and identity politics. A lot of the times we can feel trapped by our identities or the stereotypes that people hold onto us, and you have to let go of those to be free. Third thing is that working out doesn't have to be a painful and uncomfortable process. This year, I really tried to get, one of my goals was really to get into somewhat of a regular workout routine. And one thing about me, historically, I hate working out. I didn't grow up playing any sports, and so working out has never been a super regular part of my life. And I remember when I was in middle school in PE, I had this one PE teacher that was talking about the importance of getting in the habit of doing some kind of workout for, I think, 30 or 60 minutes a day, starting at that age. Once you get older, once your schedule gets so much busier, once you don't have the time and it becomes hard to fit that in, if you don't have that habit built from a young age, it's never going to be a part of your life. And I'm learning that lesson now. I'm not gonna lie, it's been hard to keep up with, but I am genuinely proud of the efforts that I've made this year to work out pretty regularly. I worked out pretty regularly throughout the summer and the beginning of this school year. I feel like the last month or so leading up to Thanksgiving, I kind of fell off the wagon just a little bit because school got a little bit crazy. But I just got back today from Thanksgiving break, immediately touched down, took a nap, went to the gym, came back, showered, and now I'm recording this podcast episode, and I'm trying to just get back into the habit of like going to the gym at least 2 to 3 times a week. And you don't have to do an insane workout. You just have to try. That's what I've been learning, is like, I feel like before I used to put these really unrealistic expectations of like, if I go to the gym, I have to kill myself when I go to the gym every single time. It's really about the consistency of it. It's really about building that habit. People always say, find a type of workout that you enjoy or that you find fun and invest in that. And that'll make working out regularly more easy. I've learned that while I hate cardio, I actually do love doing weights, like strength training. And so I usually just do like 15 minutes of cardio max, and then I spend the rest of the hour doing strength training. And that's personally what I enjoy. I'm really trying to just make it something that's a lot easier for myself so that it's something that I am more consistent with. And honestly, it's been paying off. I also just notice how much it improves my mental health. And that's really why it's something that I really want to stay committed to and try and make a regular part of my weekly routine. It definitely gets hard. I think the most important thing is like when you fall off of a schedule, not berating yourself. Like, this past month, I haven't really been going regularly. And I feel like before, I would have looked at this past month and just felt very defeated and kind of given up. But I went home for Thanksgiving break, reoriented my mindset, and decided when I come back, I'm going to get back into the schedule of things, and it's just going to be a new reset for me. The next thing that I learned is that people don't know who you are. They know 10% of who you are as a human being, especially with where we are with social media. A lot of the times people build their perception of you based on your social media presence, which when you think about it is really not accurate. I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but I know for myself, definitely is not 100% accurate. I would say my social media presence is about like 30% of who I am. I am not as put together as I am on my Instagram or on my TikTok or even on my YouTube channel. But people build their perception of you based on what they see on social media. People build their perception of you based on how you interact with them, when really that's only 10% of who you are. And I think this is important to realize, because when we have situations where we're misperceived or misunderstood in our relationships, it can feel so crushing, because it feels like those it feels like that person knows all of you and they're making this perception based on who you are. But really, you have to remember that it really takes time for you to truly get to know someone, and people only really know about 10 to 30% of who you are as a human being, and they don't really see who you are in all your complexities. I think this is really important too to remember for other people. Like, you don't fully know other people as well as you think you do as well. And I think this is important because a lot of the times we don't give people grace. I feel like we just do not give people grace anymore. I feel like a lot of the times we jump the gun and jump to conclusions when we feel wronged or when we feel hurt by other people, and we don't really stop to see things from their perspective or to see where other people may have been coming from. It's something that I feel like I've seen a lot on TikTok. And obviously I do think it is important. For example, when your friends are going through something or your friends have been wrong, to be supportive of them. But I do think it's also important to play devil's advocate and help your friend kind of see where the other person may have been coming. Having more compassion, having more empathy for other people is such an important quality. And it's something that I personally am really striving for every day, is to just to not see things as black and white or to see things through solely my perspective, but to also just understand where other people may be coming from when I feel offended or hurt by something someone does or says. Another thing I realized is that anything becomes an act of worship when you set the right intentions.
Yesterday was Jummah, actually. The imam who was speaking at the khutbah was saying that, like, in the Quran, there's 10% of what is actually said in the overall Quran is, like, outlining what things are haram, what things are forbidden. I think there's this misperception that, like, because Islam is, like, very much a religion of discipline and it challenges us to be disciplined people, there's this perception that, like, it's all about, like, what you can't do. But so much of the Quran is more than just, like, outlining the few things that you can't do. And it's really about, like, the stories of the prophets and, like, all of these other beautiful things. But 10% of the Quran is, like, outlining what you can't do, what's haram. And then there's, like, a small sector of things that are, like, not haram, but they're not recommended. And then the rest is just all of this stuff, like, all of this, like, infinite amount of behaviors, actions, words, all of this stuff that's kind of in the gray area, that if you just go about your life doing, like, I go to work every day, I go to sleep, I eat, without those intentions, they're just kind of like things that you do on a daily basis. But anything you do beyond what is haram and what is not recommended, if you have the right intention, if you just reframe your intention, that becomes hasanat. Things like going to bed becomes hasanat. Like, every single thing in your life becomes hasanat. And it's crazy. Like, it's crazy to think of, like, the mercy of Allah and how expansive it is. Setting intentions in general in your life, whether you're Muslim or not, is so powerful and so important. And it makes life so much more meaningful. It makes you feel like you're going about your day with purpose. So I cannot emphasize how much it is important to whatever you do in your life, whether that be small or big, have an intention behind it. Don't just do things for the sake of doing things. Know why you're doing something. Another realization I had this year is the importance of coming into relationships in a state of abundance. I would say I'm a pretty guarded person, and I'm definitely the type of person where, like, when you first meet me, I'm gonna be a closed book. And as you know me for longer, and as I gain trust, that's when I kind of open myself up a little bit more. But I'm learning that sometimes it is really important to just, even if you have those guards up, you know, even if you are the type of person where you like to remain kind of reserved and like a closed off to everyone and really just open up to people that you're close to, it's still important to come into relationships with a state of abundance, a state of loving, a state of giving. I think when you put that energy out there, that is also the energy that you attract. And I think life is it's important. Like, I think fostering relationships is an important part of living a meaningful life. You can't just go about your life going to work and checking off your to-do list and hustling without important people in your life. And in order to foster those meaningful relationships, in order to have those important connections, you have to enter relationships in a state of abundance. You have to be willing to pour into other people the same way you would expect other people to pour into you. Next one is, no one will ever fully understand you. This is honestly very similar to some of the other ones that I've already mentioned. So I don't know what was going on in my head when I was writing these, but I think this is, again, so, so important to understand, because miscommunication, I think, is one of the largest ways that can lead to relationships crumbling, can lead to friendships crumbling, like platonic and romantic relationships crumbling. And I think communication does fill in the gap of misunderstanding. Like, it allows people to better get to know you and where you're coming from, in a way that'll help preserve those relationships. And I also think just misunderstanding in general is one of the most painful emotions. But I think when you reframe your thinking to realize that really people don't know anything about you and they're learning who you are as you go, that'll be easier to kind of navigate when that happens in your life. Number 9, apathy shouldn't be a trauma response to the fear of failure. It feels better when we downplay things, when we downplay our dreams or our goals or our aspirations, because we're afraid that we won't achieve them, especially when we're talking to other people. But I think that does a disservice to ourselves. Something like having a true, genuine passion or a true, genuine desire, like a natural desire for something, is important. It's an important part of life. It's a disservice to ourselves when we deny ourselves that. Developing apathy, acting like you don't really care as much as you actually do about something, is easy because it protects you from getting hurt if that's not something that you end up getting in your lifetime, or if that's something that's denied to you. That apathy is a disservice to yourself. And in life, there are going to be highs and lows. You're not going to always achieve everything you want to achieve. You're not going to aspire to everything you want to be. And it's important to experience that struggle, because in that struggle there is so much learning and growing. And when apathy becomes this kind of trauma response to the fear of failure, you're training yourself to not care, to not put too much stock into the things that actually matter to you. And it's a form of self-respect to yourself. Another thing I've learned is, you have not met all the people that will love you, so don't settle. I think this is particularly important if you're going through a period of loneliness, or you're transitioning into a new phase where you're starting over and you're like trying to build your social circle again and you're struggling, or you just haven't like really met anyone that you click with or whatnot. This was something that I was telling my roommate last year, because she was a freshman and she was like asking me like what it's kind of like, you know, making friends, like how do you make friends in college? This was like the beginning of the year. And she was asking me about like my own experiences my freshman year of college, which were kind of crazy and different just because of how the pandemic affected things. I was giving her my advice. But then on top of that, I think I was also just really trying to hone in on the fact that, like, loneliness is temporary. And loneliness, it's definitely, I'm not downplaying the emotions of loneliness, because it is such a volatile emotion. I think they say, like, loneliness is literally a disease that kills. It has that much of an aggressive effect on our psyches. So I'm not trying to downplay loneliness at all whatsoever. But I think more so, if you're in kind of this state of despair, that the people around you aren't the people that you want or necessarily envision to have around you in your life, that it's temporary, and that we constantly meet people. We're constantly coming across people throughout our life. And a lot of the times I've noticed that people really do come into our lives at the most perfect time, at the time that we most need them. I think this also can just be applied to romantic relationships, because a lot of the times I've heard people, when you hear people kind of talking about, like, settling because they feel like they haven't met the right person, and that the person that they're currently with just kind of fits the mold of, like, a few of the things that they'd want. Not everything. They're not the most passionate or happy about the person. But at the same time, who else, you know? But you have to constantly remember that, like, you could literally meet that right person tomorrow. You could meet that person in 5-10 years. You never know. And you never know who will come into your life and change your life for the better. So don't despair. Don't lose hope. And just keep, you have to navigate life with an open heart too. I think an issue that I've seen too with people is sometimes people guard themselves off to new connections when they already have, like, a few really, really good close people in their lives. They aren't as open to meeting new people, and that can be challenging for other people that are, like, coming into new environments and are trying to make new friends or meet new people. But it's also a disservice to yourself, because you're closing yourself off to the potential of that connection that you don't know how that could completely change your life or how that could bring so much good into your life. Cringing at your old self is a good sign. It's a sign that you've grown. It's a sign that you've evolved. This is something that, like, I have really, 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 really realized this year, because, you know, with being on social media, like, your life is documented. And it's 2023, it's been 6 years since I've posted videos on YouTube, so I can literally go back to what my life was like to 6 years ago. That was when I was a sophomore in high school. And I cringe so much. I even cringe at stuff from 2 years ago. And I think whenever we see old pictures or old videos of ourselves and we cringe and we just are thinking to ourselves, like, how could we have dressed like that? How could we have acted like that? How could we have done that? Or even if you're thinking about things that you said or things that you did, ways that you reacted, ways that you treated people in the past, the fact that you have that type of reaction is a good sign, because it means that you've changed in a positive way. It means you've grown and you've expanded from your old self. If you're thinking back to yourself from 5 years ago and you're like, yeah, I'm perfectly happy with every single aspect of myself from 5 years ago, then you need to do some reflection and figure out, like, ways that you maybe want to grow and evolve in the next 5 years. Because I feel like that's not a good sign. Like, we're human beings, and I think human beings are constantly changing and evolving, hopefully in a good direction. And so I think if you're looking back at your old self, naturally you're gonna feel a sense of cringe. You don't have to be the most interesting person in the room. We all have that person that in our lives that as soon as they're in a social setting, they're the loudest person in the room. Sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. Sometimes there are those people that are just, like, the life of the party, and it's such an admirable quality that we all deep down want to aspire to. And then we have those people that just have to have the last word to everything, that just have to be the person making the jokes, the person making everyone laugh in the room. And it gets obnoxious sometimes. We don't want to be that person. If anything, we'd want to be the person that, the first type of person that's like the loudest in the room. But before, I kind of thought that that was like the ideal. Like, that is someone who has a personality, like a compelling personality. If they are the life of the party, they're the life of the room. But I've realized recently that that's not really necessarily the case. I think something that I've realized is how important it is to understand that if you have like a truly unique personality, it's not going to be palatable to everyone. It's actually those personalities that are palatable to everyone that you have to like sacrifice the character and the uniqueness in order to be palatable to everyone. I'm also just trying to I'm learning to value more the qualities of listening, the qualities of being more quiet, the qualities of like being able to have silence in conversations, rather than automatically just I say something, you immediately react. And there's really, I think in those types of conversations, they tend to lack more substance. They're fun, they're lively in the moment. Over the course of a long time, when you think back on all of the series of those conversations and how much you've actually gained from those conversations, they can be less fruitful than the types of conversations where they have more of a thoughtful nature to them, where there's pauses, where you're actually thinking about how you feel about the way that person said something rather than just immediate spitting out your gut reaction to what they have to say. I'm learning to really value not just being able to have a conversation with someone, but also just the types of conversations that I have with someone. If we can have a conversation about politics and fashion, or human nature and pop culture, it's gonna be really hard for me to become your friend, because you can only talk about material things for a certain period of time before that just becomes boring and repetitive and redundant. I think there's this misperception in our generation that talking about things that are deeper than just surface level things like pop culture and fashion and whatnot is putting yourself in a more vulnerable state that you should only reserve for close friends. But I think that kind of is a disservice to ourselves, because it holds us back from really learning and forming connections with people in a very important way. I think people were definitely more in previous generations, like more open to one another and open to having these types of raw and real conversations that are so crucial to your like personal growth. I think that's something that's really missing in our generation. And I do think part of it is social media. Part of it is our attention spans becoming really, really short. And that affects the nature of how we converse as human beings. Don't let the space between who you are and who you want to be scare you. I think I was listening to a podcast and they were saying this, and I wrote this down immediately because I was actually so impacted and like enlightened by this statement, because I think I'm definitely the type of person that is constantly thinking about like where I want to be in the next 5 years. That's always in the back of my mind. I think about it every single day, where I want to be. I'm definitely like a goal-oriented, future-oriented person. I've said this in the past. I romanticize the past and I'm constantly looking to the future, and it makes it really hard to live in the present. And it's good in some senses because I think that's where a lot of my ambition comes from. But at the same time, it can be crippling because it can feel like whenever you're constantly measuring yourself to the tape of your future self that you have in your head, that's like the most ideal version of yourself, it makes you feel deficient. It makes you feel like you're not good enough. And you shouldn't let that scare you. I think that can be paralyzing in and of itself if you put too much stock into that. But you shouldn't put too much stock into that, because at the end of the day, who you want to be is, at this point, a delusion. It's just a vision that you have for yourself inside of your head. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think it is good to be able to envision who you want to be and where you want to be in the next 5 years. It gives you direction in life and all of that. But at the same time, don't let that be something that scares you for the bad. Let it be something that scares you for the good. Let it be something that motivates you to get up every single day and do the things that will get you one step closer to that version of yourself. And let that gap, let that space between who you currently are and who you want to be be something that makes you proud and happy because you see the potential of who you can one day become. Last thing is, you don't have to agree with everything just because you agree with something. I think there's this nature of co-opting different causes or co-opting different things. Like if you believe in X, then you have to believe in Y and Z. And I think that is a bad framework because I don't think it leaves much or any room for critical thought. And it doesn't really allow people to kind of make decisions on their own of why they support or agree with one thing and not another. It's one thing to say, yes, I agree with all of this. And it's another thing to say, I agree with this, but I don't agree with this for this reason. I actually think that. Like, that is another level of critical thinking that I think is important to have. And I think in general, it's important to not blindly follow things. It's important to, like, yes, it's important to support humanitarian causes, but know why you're supporting those humanitarian causes. The reason why I say this is because when you know why, when you interact with other people who disagree with you, you can have an actual conversation and possibly convert them to also agreeing with you, or you can learn something new from them. But if you don't really know why you support something and you're interacting with other people who don't support it or who just want to learn more, it's going to put you in a very weak spot. And I also think it also just in general puts you in a vulnerable position to like co-opt you to agreeing with other things that you don't wouldn't necessarily otherwise agree with. Not all good things go together. I think that's something we need to learn more of. Those are the lessons I learned this year. I still have one more month left of 2023, so I'm really trying to finish strong. The intentions that I had for 2023, I'm trying to honor those as much as possible. Even if they weren't at the forefront of my year in 2023, in the first episode of season 3, I'll be briefly recapping 2023, the goals that I set, and whether or not I actually fulfilled them. I literally have not looked at my goals in a long time. I can't tell you what goals I set for 2023. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm actually very excited for 2024 because it is going to be a very pivotal year for me. I think 2024 is going to feel in a lot of ways like 2020 minus the pandemic, because in 2024 spring, inshallah, I'm going to be graduating. And then I am going to be taking a gap year before I go to law school. Working, I think I'm gonna be moving back home for the year. And I make the joke about how like I'm dreading moving back home for my gap year, but I'm actually not really dreading it all that much. I think this time that I have to like live with my parents and like not be 100%, like be semi-independent but not fully independent, is like very limited. And while I'm an independent person that like craves being fully independent on my own, I'm also trying to like enjoy this time where I'm not fully independent, because I know being fully independent comes with certain stressors. But I also think living at home will allow me to the space and the time to like pursue things that I wouldn't necessarily be able to pursue. Like I really going into 2024, I want to start making a list of like all the things that I've always wanted to do, but I just haven't had the time for it because I won't be in school, so I won't have that stressor and that like holding me back to do certain things. Like, definitely gonna be reading a lot. Definitely wanna get back into journaling. I have literally not journaled. I've barely journaled this year and it shows. But I wanna get back into journaling and just carve out time for some of the other things that like I've wanted to do over the past couple years, but just have not really had the time to do it. One of my friends, she graduated early, so she's kind of like doing that whole bit this year, and I think that has been really nice to just see like where I might be next year and like how my life might look like next year. I was really scared, I think, of the uncertainty that was gonna be next year. I think I am still a little bit scared because I feel like up until this point in my life, I've had a very clear direction of like what's next, like what the next steps are. But next year is just like fully a question mark. After post-graduation, I'm not gonna have any set rules or guidelines to follow. Like, I'm not gonna have a set path to really follow. It's just like a full year where I can literally do whatever I want. And that's kind of like, it's exciting, but it's also kind of nerve-wracking for myself because I like being able to just like follow a specific path. But I think it'll be important to have, and it's definitely something that I really want to do. I think if I didn't need more time on the LSAT, I probably would have just gone straight in because that was the easier thing to do. But a lot of the people that I've talked to that have gone to law school say that it's important to take the time in between, whether that be 1 year or multiple years, it's important to take some time off in between, and that you'll look back with a lot of gratitude that you took that, at least like that year off, that you took that time off, because law school isn't a joke. And once you go to law school, once you pass the bar and you become a lawyer, you're literally a lawyer for the rest of your life, and you don't really ever have that like time that you did in between undergrad and law school. So I'm very excited, hoping to do things like travel and just like, I don't know, indulge in things that I have not been able to do in the past. It'll be like 2020, but better, because there won't be a pandemic really stopping me from being able to do things that I really want, like to be able to like go out and things. But it will be the same in the sense that like I'll have way so much uninterrupted time to be able to just like grow in ways that I haven't been able to, because I've been in constant survival mode the past 3 years since I've gone back to in-person college. That's what 2024 is looking like to me. I'm very excited for this next chapter. It's going to be a shorter chapter, but I'm very excited for this next chapter. And I think this next month is very important to setting the tone for what you want your next year to be like, because you really need to do the work. You need to take the time to sit down and kind of envision what you want that next year to look like for yourself before you can start, before you can sit down and set the right goals to get you to that place that you want to be at. Thank you so much for you guys listening to season 2. I hope you guys enjoyed this season of Disclaimers Aside. I have really, really enjoyed this past year, and I am so grateful to have you guys as a community. I'm looking forward to season 3. I'm so excited for the stories that we're gonna tell next season. I think I'm gonna release some sort of feedback form over the next couple weeks, definitely before season 3 starts, and that'll be on the podcast Instagram, so look out for that. If you're not following that, definitely go follow it. It's really just a community space where we can expand on some of the stories and the ideas in this episode so that you guys can kind of interact, share your input and whatnot. But look out for a survey. I'd love to hear, you know, some of the things that you liked about this season, some of the things you'd like to see done better for season 3, so that when I'm in the planning process, I can implement those things. But thank you, thank you, thank you again. And I hope you guys have a wonderful holiday season. Enjoy these next couple weeks, and I will chat with you guys next year for season 3. Bye.